Let's turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. Amen. This is one of the epistles or the letters of Paul to the church of Colossae, and then he was talking to Christians. He was talking to a church, specifically people who are already saved. We have messages we preach for the world, and the message to exhort and edify the church. And this one's right within the church. This one, chapter 3 of the book of Colossians, which I start from verse 12. Verse 12 up to verse 17, and I hope we shall stop there. This is what the Bible says. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, both of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your head, in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I repeat. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also are ye called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Yes. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this other moment you have given me, Lord. I thank you for this evening. I thank you for this service that, Lord, as I've had a chance to share. God, I'm just humbled to come before you, asking for your grace, for your mercies, for your power, that, Lord, you use me to speak, to share this word to your children. And, Lord, let it be an encouragement to us this evening. That, Father, it will help us to understand, to live as Christians, as children who are elects by you. That, Lord, by the blood of Jesus, we are sanctified to be called by your name. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 This day today, just like I said, I'm going to be a very humble preacher that I've never been, because it's never my kind when I'm preaching. Things happen to run very fast. And sometimes when I was here, you missed a lot of English. That's what I knew. And this time around, I wanted to be a little slow so that you can get it, because I'm not so fired up to hit you. And I feel to be so friendly to bring you closer to me. Paul is speaking to the church of Colossians. He's talking about the life of a Christian. He tells us, or he's giving us a name. He's giving us a kind of identification that the world doesn't have. And this kind of identification is what we can see here in verse 12. He calls us as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Holy and beloved. When is somebody found in that category of a person? When do we find ourselves in that state of being holy and beloved of God? That's a time whereby one has come to realization of his or her sinful nature and accepted Jesus Christ as his and personal Savior. The Bible says this, that for as many as came to him, he gave power to become the sons of God. That is a person who has come to realize his or her state as being a sinner and then surrender to Jesus for salvation. You become an elect of God. And I thank God that I'm speaking to one who is an elect. I'm speaking to a brother, to a sister who is a child of God. Somebody who's been washed by the blood. Somebody has been accepted in the family of God. And therefore, how do we have to live as Christians? How should we keep in our lives as children of God? I've learned one thing in life, that every home has its own kind of government. Any place where we have people, any institution. Let's take, for example, the government of America. It has its own rules and regulations. Right. It has its constitution upon which we are guided to live. Right. And it would wish everybody to live by that constitution. Yeah. We look at the children of God. We look at this divine kingdom. The kingdom of God. We are an elected family. The Bible calls us a chosen generation. A family chosen by God Himself. Many a time as Baptists, we have had that issue of having what we call church constitution. But the fact is this. How is our constitution to be formed? Where do we find facts? Where do we find those sections to form our constitution? Our constitution is formed by our king and the owner of the kingdom. And that's our God. So it tells us this, that having been elected, having been chosen, having been called by the blood of Jesus, by that calling, hey, listen to what I'm saying here. Sometimes some people misunderstand this verse. They say that we don't have to be saved, we just have to be elected. That's not what it means here. It means you have been sanctified. That elect word is referring to sanctification by the blood of Jesus. So, when we receive that grace of salvation, the Bible puts us in that holy family of God. And therefore we are told that this is the kind of life we should have to live. That we should have bowls of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Brethren, some of us before we were saved, we were so wild. I didn't know how to handle things. I didn't know how to wait. I didn't know how to look upon a brother to do something else for me. I wish to do everything for myself. I would feel like I'm late every other time. I would feel that somebody else doesn't know what to do. I wouldn't imagine Jordan could do something better than me. I believed in my own self alone. But I thank God for salvation. When I got saved, I realized my brother and my sister can do much better than even I can do myself. I was challenged to understand I have to respect them as they respect me. I have to wait. Some things happen. Some sickness can come in our life. And we would wish to get it today, and tomorrow we are healed. Yes. It will not happen that way.
You're right.
The Bible is talking about long suffering. We might look at it like it wouldn't have happened that way. But God has a purpose for everything. When things happen in our lives as elect of God, when things happen in our lives as children of God, God has a reason for it. And therefore, for us, we have to wait upon the Lord. I don't know if you have the same problem I have in my country over there. Many a time, some Christians have really gone wrong by not being long-suffering. Yeah, when they get sick, they don't wait upon the Lord. They go to hospital twice or thrice. Then they say there's no God. They run to witchcraft. They go to the sorcerers. They try to find the magicians over there to work on them. Lack of long suffering.
Yes.
Look at what happened in the book of John when Lazarus was sick. Martha and Mary wished Jesus could have come that same day and healed Lazarus. But what happened? Jesus didn't go. He kept a little longer. It was only 2 miles between Jerusalem and where they were in Bethany. Just a distance of 2 miles. For how long would an American ride to get there? In two miles? How much time do you need to ride? Less than 15 minutes? You will be there. Jesus didn't go. Things went along. He continued being sick and sick and sick again, getting weak and weak and weak. And the report was coming to Jesus every other time. Hey, your friend Lazarus is not doing good.
Right.
Can you go and check on him? He said, wait.
Wait, yeah.
They said, he's getting bad. Get up and help him. Jesus said, wait a little while.
Yeah.
They came to say, hey, please, he's just about to die. I thank God because we didn't have phones like today. Because nowadays, somebody can tell you now he's kicking. He's now kicking now. And then somebody's on the phone. Hey, he's now kicking. I don't know what you would do if you were the one. That's what they would have told Jesus on that day. If only in real sense there were phones like the phones we have today. But do you know what Jesus said? He said, the sickness of Lazarus is for the glory of God. God allows some things to happen in our lives. God allows situations to come. He's able to control all of them at His own time. Let's be long-suffering. Let's take a little while and wait. How much time are you not doing well with your wife at home? Take a little while and look at her. Watch over and see what's happening. How many times are you having trouble with your children? Don't give up on them. Just be long-suffering. That's what the Bible is telling us. Because it is godliness to be long-suffering. The Bible goes on to tell us this. That we have to forbear one another. Sometimes, you know, I was talking to somebody, and he told me when you get saved, then you should be very clean, no problem, no quarreling, no war, no time to have trouble with anybody. You'll be such a humble, nice person. Life will be so smart and good. Never will it be like that. How do you go in a battlefield and expect not to be hit in the war? Our adversary, the devil, is against us. Once you surrender to Jesus, you are an enemy of the devil. And once you are an enemy of the devil, every other time you will cause trouble. And that's why we Christians, sometimes we find ourselves in some situations. You get yourself mad with other Christians. Sometimes you get mad with your children. Sometimes you get mad with your wife. Sometimes you get mad with your husband. Sometimes you get mad with your pastor. Sometimes you look at everything like it's wrong. And you say, now what can I do about it? Which means, because we are still in the flesh, the war is on. Let's learn one special thing, a godly thing, bearing one another's weaknesses. And forgiving. The Bible teaches us how we should live as Christians, that should one of us go against another, we who are chosen of God, let's forgive. Forgiving has a cost. It's a sacrificial act. Sometimes it's not very easy. But the Bible tells us we have to forgive. When Jesus was on the cross, things were very rough on his body. Everything was in wrong position. They were against him. They were hitting him up and down. They were really tapping him with spears. They were doing every kind of nice work on him. But he looked up before the Father. What did he say? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they are. They are doing. Stephen did the same. When he was being stoned, he looked up and could see the cross of Jesus, the power of forgiveness, the stand of forgiveness. He said, God, forgive them. What about us? How many times have we forgiven? Sometimes it's very hard. I've talked to my wife. Asked her, when you married me, how did you expect me to be before? Because before we married, you see, there's a lot of good things we talk. Oh, I will take care of you. I'll take you to Paris. I'll take you to America. I'll talk all those things. I'll buy an airplane for you. I'll do everything. We talk very good things, right? You do the same here? I don't. I promise every heaven. And for sure, if I would be able, that's exactly what I would do. I talked to that out of total love and wish to do that for her. So there's one thing that I promised her that she didn't forget.
She wanted, she liked sewing with a sewing machine. So, one of the things I promised before I married her was that I could buy her a sewing machine and get her know how to sew her own clothes. So when I married her, I ran short of money. No money. After a few days in our marriage, she asked me, what about the sewing machine? She didn't forget. Said, Mom, I'm sorry. Just forgive me, but I'll not forget to get the machine. We had to live. We had the first child, gave birth to the second child, no sewing machine. Third child, no sewing machine. When we came to the fourth one, I had money. I went and bought a sewing machine. Then I got it to her. Then I told her, now, what else do you need of me? I've done my part. Do you know what I did to her? I told her, I want to do one thing for you. I want to say thank you because you forgave me for that time.
What about that? What about that?
You waited upon me. You are long suffering. We have things in life that we should be ready to forgive and wait upon the Lord. So please, Christians, my dear brothers and sisters of Camden Baptist Church, oh, first of all, I want to be very specific on that. As we move, let me see this word here. I think we shall come to it. The Bible says here in verse 14 that, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity. And I thank you, God. I thank God for your brother, for my brother, the pastor. He's been a very charitable brother. I don't brag on that. I mean what I'm saying. I told you I just lack the language of English I can use. He's been so kind. Let me tell you this. Traveling all the way from here to Africa costs about $1,700. That's a lot of money. His family needs that money. He has a lot of things he's doing here. But he sacrifices, just kindness, charitiness, comes over. He meets people, no AC, my truck sometimes could leave us with three tires. You see, there's no car that has ever used three tires, he uses four. But mine, one goes off, remain with them, I'm still driving on, and we go. He's keeping with him. I look at him and say, this man here, I don't know. Dear God, what a man this one here is. What is he doing in such a kind of car? You know what I tell God afterwards? God, have mercy on us. Because I don't know what to do. I tell God, just forgive me because I also didn't expect this tire to get off and leave us with three tires on our car. Amen. So, we are told here that half charity is the pond of perfectness. And I want to tell you, I've been one person to say, I've been blessed by your charity all this time I've been with you. So many of you have really given in. I'm just short of words on how I can explain it. I've seen presidents come. Sometimes I'm left with no words to say because I couldn't imagine that this brother would be so ready or this sister would be so willing to do that he or she's doing for me. That's charity. May God bless you, brethren. For that, I want to commend you for that. You are a church of that kind. And may the blessings of God be upon each one of you. The Bible goes on to tell us that, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. That was the word. The peace, that comfort, that settled mind, that settled heart, that situation of feeling, yes, I'm at the right place. I'm within a right situation. I'm having the right God. I'm having the right people around me. I have the right church. I have got the right pastor. I have the right children. I have the best out of all. Amen. The peace of God.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Amen. You know what the devil always tries to do in our lives as Christians? He tries to steal the peace.
Yeah.
All the time. He comes, he does everything to steal. Once he steals the peace, then he has distracted what we call the joy of salvation in us. Then sometimes you find somebody saying, oh no, that judge is not good. The church is so bad. The pastor didn't preach well. Oh, one of the elders was so bad. One of the ladies just came in. She was dressing in a way I didn't like. You get every excuse because the peace has been done what? Taken away. Then godliness is gone away from you.
Yes. That's good.
I'm going back to Africa. Come next Monday. May the peace of the Lord be upon all of you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And may all of us be praying that every one of us has the peace of God.
Yes.
That's what the joy of Christ is all about. There's nothing as sad as being in the church and you don't have the peace in mind. When you are singing hallelujah. When you get back in the house, there's war.
Well, what about that?
No peace of God.
Uh-huh.
For a believer, let's have peace of God in our lives.
Yes.
The Bible is talking about that. It doesn't matter which situation you are having, because things come up anyway to disrupt and confuse you so that you don't have that peace. But let me tell you this. Jesus told his disciples when he was going, he told them that I'm going, but with you, I'm leaving you with peace. And you know one of the names of Jesus according to the book of Isaiah chapter 9? Is the Prince of? He's the Prince of? So anytime you lack the peace of Christ, you have missed Christ within your life. So just enjoy that peace. Maybe it just have to flow in you. The devil tried to work on that, I know. He tried to disrupt through every storm. He will cause every kind of thing to go through, miss that peace. But the plan of God and my prayer to you and the power of the word is that may the peace of God be upon you all the days. Amen. That's what the Bible is telling us. That's what God wants us to have. Let's have that peace. Sometimes things try just to disrupt us, but the reality of the matter is this. God has called us for peace. That's the call. Yeah. You won't imagine Paul writing about the book to the church of Philippi, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice while he was in jail. What kind of peace that one was? So, the Bible talks about the peace that surpasses, that goes above normal comprehension. Amen. This is my prayer that it rules over us. Rule over us. Rule over us. Doesn't matter what's coming along our way. So long as we have Jesus, we are children of God, we are elect of God, holy, acceptable, and we are eyes of our Father. May the peace of God rule over us. And then after that, the Bible says, and be thankful. Yeah. There are people who have never said thank you. Everything to them is a problem. I was complaining to my men back there. African men have a problem. I don't know if you have it here. We were trained that when you are brought food on the table and you eat, we don't cook, by the way. We are very poor at cooking. That's the problem. I think, Sister Diana, if you get your kitchen messed up, no, I'm there because I don't know how to cook and I can do it very bad. That's the problem. But I'm with Brother Chris. Okay. Now, when we get in the kitchen, we don't know how to handle ourselves. We African men. So our wives do every cooking. And they do everything they can. And they bring us wonderful food. Good food. But do you know the weakness we have? No African man will tell the wife, thank you for the food. You eat and go your way. That's... One day when I was preaching, I touched on that, and all of the men were looking at me like, I say thank you because of the food. I said, but if the food would not have been prepared, what would you have eaten?
Yeah.
Supposing she decided to poison the food. Would you leave?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Don't give no idea.
Just a short word. Thank you.
Yeah.
Be thankful, brethren.
Amen.
Amen. Just thank the Lord for the salvation. If you don't have anything to thank for, just tell God, thank you, you have saved me. If you can miss all other things.
Yes,
thank God for the life.
Yes.
There is somebody who remained in the womb, didn't get out of human being, just died before he was born.
Yeah.
Here you are.
Yep.
Can you say thank you to God?
Amen.
The Bible says, be thankful. Yeah. We had a problem somewhere there in Africa. Whereby there was one man who was complaining every other time. Do you know what he was complaining about? He didn't have a pair of shoes. He had none. So he never wanted to thank God for that. Then we were looking at him and said, now, you are complaining about lacking the pair of shoes. Then, after a short while, there came another man who did not have one leg. Now, if this one is complaining about shoes, what about this one without a leg? How much did he complain? So while you think your problems are so big, we have somebody with bigger problems than yours. Be very careful. Thank God for what it is.
Amen.
Yeah. Because there's somebody in a more terrible state than yourself. Thank God for your government. Never every other time complaining. We shall not bring a president from Kenya to rule over America. Thank God for that man there. And pray that God will lead him. Pray that his power will rule over that person. Thank God for your family. Amen? Yeah. You have children. You have somebody who may not have had a chance to get a child. Whether you adopted or you came back as a child. Thank God. Be thankful. Don't grumble all the time. My husband. There's somebody lacking a husband right now as I'm talking to you. There is. While you go complaining about your wife, my wife. There's somebody with no wife. Thank God for that lady.
Amen.
That's somebody very precious before you. And pray God that the peace.
Yeah.
Hello? Are you there with me?
Yeah.
Thank God that God has given you that person. Now pray God to bring that peace.
Amen. Yes.
The center point of the word I wanted to tell you is giving thanks to the Lord for what we are today.
Amen.
For what we shall be tomorrow. For what we shall be in the year to come. For what our families will be. Though one thing is not right, there is something very much right with you. Though things might not have looked so good as you expected, there is somewhere God has done excessively good on you. Give thanks. If somebody is thanking God for having just a cup of water, we thank God for that in Africa. Cup of water.
Yeah.
Have preached in a place whereby there was nowhere you could get water. Then you went down in a small kind of sand somewhere. It looks like a river, but dried nothing. We had to scoop deep in the sand. There came some water. When it came, we were like, heaven has come.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
We didn't need even to do this to drink. No, just have to bend and
like a cow.
And then from there we say, thank you, God.
We have had water.
What about you? You have water everywhere in your houses. You have more than enough even to water your gardens. To water the flowers.
Amen.
Just thank God. Thank God that you are an American. Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. The world out there is just struggling. Everybody. In fact, in my country, I don't know somewhere else, but I think other countries too, because I met an Indian preacher one day, and when I talked to him, he said, most of our scholars wanted to go to America. Then I asked myself, where do Americans want to go? People have to come to America. Where do you want to go? If they would rent a world to another, America has no other world to go, but the only world left for America is where?
Heaven.
The kingdom. We can do that one for us.
Yes.
Well. Amen. Hey, guys, Brother John, how beautiful ladies. I can see that lady over there. Wonderful God.
Yeah.
We can do this one day. Say, God, thank you for this wonderful lady you gave me. Look at your children. Oh, my brother.
Yeah.
Look at your grandchildren. Where's mama? I saw her somewhere. Where is she? Is she somewhere here? Or she went back home? Your mom? Gone out? Behind? When she looked at such a man like that one, what do you think she should say? Just think about it. Mom, you are such a kind of a guy. Look at that. The Bible says, give thanks. Is that? Amen. Give thanks. Oh, my. Brother Edward, give thanks to the Lord.
Yeah,
during the camp meeting, you know what I was seeing? It was like, the whole church was Camden Baptist Church. Let me let you know. I was there. Listen to what I'm saying. Sister Ashley was singing. She was like the whole heaven had come down. Christian was doing it. Like never before. The preacher there, with his great friend called Joe, they were jumping like young cows which have milked the mother and they are strong. You could see them doing all the jumping all around. You could see them doing that. Oh, looking at it.
Yeah.
Not to say about that. Brother Chet came preaching like you said, I never preached again. He was doing everything and shouting up and doing everything. And everybody could say, amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Then I said, what can Brother Edward say? The word is, thank you, Lord. Do you have anything to thank the Lord for? Don't just complain everything. It's only one thing that has gone wrong. Three are good.
Yeah.
Always count to see three right, one wrong. Don't mum about one and forget about the three.
Right.
Don't be like the Jonah of the prophet here. He had a good time. God had given him everything. He had saved him from the sea. He had just tried to run away from God.
Yeah.
God forgave him. He got him up. Got him into the land of Syria. And then after preaching, he was given somewhere to rest under a certain kind of we call that plant, what is a plant that grew up. And when it withered, he started complaining.
Yeah.
Instead of thanking God, he would have died in the sea.
Yeah.
That well would have gone away with him.
Yeah.
How many wells do you think God has gotten out of? Think about it. Just take a little while. How many words have you fallen into their mouths that the Lord has gotten you out?
Yeah.
I'm unable to tell. I've passed through very tense situations. But every other time I'm out, I'm saying hallelujah. Our God is able. Think about these guys. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were right in the furnace. They were in the fire. God called them out. And we think about their fire and forget about our fires. Huh. You know, I've been in much terrible fire than they were. But here you are. You are called an elect of God. Can you say amen? A son of God. I'm excited being one. Please give thanks to the Lord. And I would like to wind by saying thank you, the Church of Camden Baptist Church. You have been a blessing to me. I'm sure I'm going back to get into the bush with the total fire than the 80-year horse.
Amen.
Amen. Because you have given. I want to say thank you.
Amen.
You have just... It's not that you have a lot of money. Brethren, you have sacrificed.
Amen.
I say thank you. Deep from my heart.
Right.
I say thank you. Some of you have just spoken to me a lot of encouraging words. Very encouraging. I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you. And as I wind, I'd like to encourage you once more. The Bible is talking about what should keep right in our hearts. Look at verse 16 of that Bible. Lay the word. Hello? When I say that, I want to let you look at where I am. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The heart. The inside of you. The real man who is you. This body is not you. There's a real man who is you. There's a real lady who is you. The Bible is talking of what should be deep, richly inside that inner person. The word. Amen. Many times we go wrong because we have allowed other things to be rich in our hearts and kept out the word. You find somebody's well programmed. This morning, I'll be doing this job. Evening, I'll be doing this job. At night, I'll be doing this job. This person is so occupied. Their heart is so filled with things of the world that the word of God has no space. The same person never reads his Bible or her Bible. You never read the word of God. You never have time for prayer. And if you go to pray, it's just a little while while you are in bed. When you start to say, oh, thank you, Lord, where you have been. You are taken away by sleep. You say, amen, in the morning.
Amen.
So occupied. The Bible says, let the word, I'm sorry, I don't know how time is going. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Richly. Just allow the word of God to perform with you. Let you be well loaded by the power of God through his word. And if you have the word of God, you have everything that you need. Richly. Inside us. What have you allowed to be more in your heart? Murmuring and complaining? What have you filled in your heart? Your job and your children? What have you filled in your heart? Something should be richly inside you. God talks about the word. That's our only weapon and our only power. The Bible says that, let that be literally inside us, in all wisdom, so that we can teach and admonish one another. Do you understand what it means?
Yeah.
Hey, we have people who will never want to be told you are wrong, brother, or you are wrong, sister. You cannot admonish them. They are always Mr. Right and Mrs. Right. We cannot live like that as Christians. Accept to be corrected. Correction doesn't mean hatred. It means love. Can you say amen? Correcting me means you love me. Hey, Brother Edward, if you come to me and you say, Brother Joseph, this way you are not going right, I say, thank you, brother. You love me. Have a memory of my brother who passed on, Brother Al Dominic. I looked to him like my father. While we were driving on the road, he's not a Kenyan, he's an American. He drives on the left, on the right, I drive on the left. And then he watched how I was driving. Then one day, somebody just happened to come on the road within the city and didn't want to get away. I was mad with him. And I had to pee. Do you know what he told me? Just be kind. Stop doing that. Say thank you, brother. He's correcting me from our own land. Say thank you, brother. I've never done that any other day. He corrected me. Admonishing one another. Somebody is so wild that he scares or she scares you to go and tell him you are wrong or she's wrong. That's not Christian life. Be ready to be advised. Be ready to be corrected. Accept to be told where you are wrong. Hey, listen, it's biblical. Even the time about when there was a problem between Barnabas and Paul, they had to talk about the ministry. They admonished one another. There's a time that Paul admonished Peter. When Peter said that for these people to go to heaven, they must be circumcised. Paul said, no, you are bringing a wrong doctrine. It's by Christ. That's admonition. We have to correct one another. You might be possessing a wrong Bible without your knowledge. Your brother might come and my sister or your sister and say, oh, this kind of Bible is not the right one. The right Bible is the KJV. Don't try to cause trouble. You are being admonished. That's life in Christ. Let's accept it to be corrected. Amen. As spiritual life. We make mistakes every other day. We need someone to tell me, brother, this is the way. Sister, this is the way. Friend, this is the way. Brethren, this is the way. Show me that way. And I will listen and get on the right track. The Bible talks about a fool. Hey, listen, I'm so doing that one. The Bible says, a fool always sees everything straight in his own eyes alone. But a wise man will always listen for counsel and advice. That's what the Bible says. So, let's admonish one another. I told you today I'm preaching just a friendly message. With total love. I love you, brethren. That's what I'm talking as a preacher. And I'm going back. Let me wind. Okay. Verse 17 says, and whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving the word thanks, is repeated there. You will give thanks to a brethren, you have to give thanks to God. The Bible is repeating the same word. Whatsoever we do, because we are a child of a king, we behave the kingly behavior. We behave like that person who has a special kind of make that has been made to be. We are not just anybody. We are not just an anybody.
Right.
We are special. Say amen. Amen. We are children of God.
Amen.
And because that's what we are, the Bible is telling us today that whatsoever we do, never allow anything to just come because you are doing it. Think about your Lord first. That was a problem in my church one day. It really gave me a hard time. Ladies started a fellowship. I think they called it a miracle round. I really didn't understand what it really meant in the first place. So they started giving money one to another from person to person as they went, month by month. Only to realize one or two of them didn't know what it meant by what they were doing as Christians. So they had a problem within that fellowship of theirs, which I didn't know myself. Then one day after I had preached, I realized there was a lot of unusual spirit within the church. You see, we preach as we say it very fast. I could look at the people, the faces, the ladies were not comfortable, things were not working well, I didn't know what was happening. I just had to do everything to understand what exactly was cooking in the church. Then later on, after I had preached, the service was over, is when I realized there was a problem. What? Those ladies did not understand that they were still Christians even after doing the miracle round. So one of them had meat to give the money. So there was war within them. When I realized that, I said, but who began this thing? Did you begin it in the name of Jesus or you did it for your own money? I said, you stop it. So that the Spirit of God rules within us. So that the Word of God will be rich within us. So that we shall have to admonish one another with a brother love and sister love. And that's what saved the church. What I mean is this. We may do some things, but the devil wants to come in with a different direction. We might have a very good intention, but the devil always tries to steal the peace, mess up the love within us, create things within us, and then make it look like we were at war with one another. Let's be very careful that everything we are doing is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the power of God. It is not bad to initiate things for the development or progress of some members of the church. It is good. But be very careful what it ends up to be. Amen?
Yes.
Just be very careful.
Yes.
So that the devil does not take advantage of it. And then create problems. And make it look like there was war within the Christians.
Amen.
We are brothers, we are sisters.
Right.
We are a family. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. I'm excited being part of such a great family of God. Just excited. I was telling my wife, hey, listen, no more shall you feel you are alone. I've found our people. That's what I told her.
Well,
that's what I said.
Amen.
And I believe one day God will lead me to bring that lady here.
Amen.
To see what I've seen.
Amen.
To understand what I was meaning by saying I've found our people. Let's do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Preacher, come over and take over from there. I'm just done. Amen. Amen.